straight into the word. Let the devil know we are people of God up in here. See, you don't have to win every battle, but you do got to fight. See, too many people want to quit and fight. You got to fight. I didn't say you got to win, but you do got to fight. Sometimes you got to let the devil know it's still some fight in me. Even if I can't do nothing, but hallelujah. I got to let the devil know it's still a fight in me. Yeah, you can hit me how you want to. Talk about me how you want to. But I still got a fight in me. You done already stood and you done already danced and shouted. Turn to Luke chapter 17. Glory be to God. And I apologize to the pulpit ministry for pulling the time. But I just don't apologize for what the Lord doing. Amen. You'll get next week to preach how you want to. Well, no, I won't say that next week. Well, you will get next week. Amen. But I'm excited about how the Lord takes care of us. I really am. Because I just want to know, do I got a God that'll show up when I need him? Don't just tell me about a God I got, but will he show up if I call him? I'm going to preach to you this morning. In Luke chapter 17, are you there? Yeah. This is the title of this message, is Salvation. You can have it if you want it. See, yeah, what you just experienced, you can have it if you want it. Come on, somebody. This ain't just for the elite. This ain't just for those. You can have it if you want it. In Luke chapter 17, verse 20, and we know the integrity of our hearts is to stand to the scriptures, but you've already done that. So, and the scripture says, and when he was damned of the Pharisees, and when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Neither shall they say, lo here or lo there. For behold, the kingdom of God is what? Within you. Come on, somebody. The kingdom of God is within you. He said the kingdom of God is not just going to come with observation. But there's going to be a demonstration that the kingdom of God is within you. What makes us and gives us the ability to make changes and go through storms and live past hurts? It's because the kingdom of God is within me. I'm not looking for it to come. It's in me. Come on, somebody. See, I won't know what's in me until something hit me. Yeah, yeah. Everybody look good over their shadow boxes. But when they tell you, call your name on the 27th at 6:30 p.m., you need to get in that square. Now, we're going to find out what's in you. Is this all right with you? Let me preach it right now. He said in verse 17, he said that the kingdom of heaven is within you. And he said unto the disciples, the days will come when you shall desire to see one of the days of the sons of men, and you shall not see it. And they shall say to you, see here, or see there. Go not after them, nor follow them. Boy, you better hear me right here. See, the day is going to come when it ain't going to have nothing to do with what you're talking about. The day is going to come when they're going to say, don't worry about what he's saying, what she's saying, and don't even follow them. Because the kingdom of heaven is within you. And you'll never see the other side of the kingdom until you go through. See, God's going to deliver you from some things. Come on, somebody. Some things some of us ain't never done. But don't be all hypocritical with those that have done it. You know, I know you ain't never smoked weed. I'm talking about this section over here. All these over here. But see how they laugh over here? Because they say, no, we ain't. But then I'm talking about, I know you ain't never smoked crack. But see, I'm talking about this section over here. Don't worry about them. But I'm talking about those that never did adultery. I'm not talking about none of y'all in here, but I'm talking to them. But he said, whatever, it's going to come a time, y'all, that you ain't going to be able to live off of what's happening around you. You're going to have to live off of what's happening. Oh, you better come on with me. See, I'm going to find out who's going to really be sons and daughters, because I got to find out what's in me, because the only way I can get stuff out of you, I'm going to have to challenge you. See, some of your next development and growth is right behind what's dealing with you. But I can't deal with it in me. I got to deal with it in him. Because I got to do it the kingdom's way. Now, I do want to tell you a little bit of something about how I feel. But what do that got to do with it? See, this is a salvation you can have if you want it. Now, I'm going to talk to you about not just going to heaven, because everybody going to go there if you accept Jesus as your personal Savior. But you got to bring the kingdom of heaven down here. Yeah, that ain't as easy as going up there. All you have to do is say, yes, Lord. But in order to bring the kingdom down here, you got to say, yes, Lord. Not my will, but. Yeah. Watch this. Because see, look at Psalms chapter 23. You already know it, but I just want to take you here. Salvation is the effect of successfully to fulfill deliverance or to save someone from some impending danger. See, salvation is defined as the effect of successfully delivering somebody from some impending danger. Come on now. We can go from our soul to the man chasing me to hurt me. But it's still salvation, meaning I need to get saved. Come on, somebody. I need a savior. But now the prerequisites or the twofold implications of salvation is one, someone needs to be saved. But the other one is there's someone that's able to save you and somebody that's willing to save you. Because everybody in here got some money. They able to bless you, but everybody in here ain't willing to bless you. Come on, somebody. Now, it ain't like, now, I can see if you didn't have the money. Oh, man, if I had it, Doc, you know you my boy. I give it to you. But you got it. So you can save all that, Doc. Just come on with it. Oh, no, I'm not willing to give you. I'm just telling you if I was able to give you, I would do it. See, we talking about a God that's not just only able to save you, but he's also willing to save you. Those two prerequisites you can't neglect. Because, see, you can be willing and not even able. You know, our kids, I want to help my daddy. But he's willing to do it, but he's not able. See, you got some folk that's able, but they ain't willing. Is this all right? But now watch this. Let's talk about why I'm not willing. Because I want to experience this salvation experience. See, only a sick person goes to the doctor. Come on, somebody. You don't go to the doctor just to see. I was just trying to see what you was doing today. That man said, man, come on now. I thought you were. No, ain't nothing wrong with me. I was just in the neighborhood. No, this is not what we do up here. We deal with sick folk. Amen. So only the sick people go to the doctor, right? Only the accused people ask for a lawyer. You know, anybody slide up on the doctor? Amen. You know any good lawyers? Now you got me curious, because why are you asking me about a lawyer? What you done? No, man, I'm just trying to see the lawyers in the community. No, Doc, we ain't playing no game, man. Why you need a lawyer? See, you done something. Come on, somebody. So not only do the sick people need a doctor, there's folk that want to need a lawyer because they're accused of something. Is that right? But only the drowning person need a lifeguard. You just don't go out and tell him and want him to swim way over there, her swim over there. I was just seeing if you knew how to do the breaststroke. No, Doc, come on, man, playing with me. You out here, I thought you was drowning. No, look at me, man. Then he gonna push you in the water. So you quit playing. But not only that, watch this. See, men are lost. Go to Romans chapter 1. I want to pull this out of here, and then we're going to jump into it. See, God brought us today because we need a Savior. Amen? Now, I'm even talking to the saved folks, because saved folks need to get their soul saved. I know you accepted Jesus, but you still got some areas in your life that ain't saved. Come on now. So I still need a Savior right now, even though I'm saved. And as long as you're walking down here on earth, you're going to need a Savior. Because you ain't all that if you haven't figured that out yet. The most disappointing thing to discover is that you ain't all that. I mean, I thought about a whole lot about you. And I thought a whole lot about Jesus. But I never really thought about me. I only really think about me when I discover through my error that I'm not really all that. Because prior to error, I'm walking around like this. I don't need Jesus because I'm on. I'm doing well, got money, got a new job. You know, I got 3 cars. We don't need the Lord because I'm doing what I want to do until something that's come contrary to what you want to do hits your life. Because, you know, you got your routine where you go. And since you're on charge and you're on top of where you go, you said, I don't need a Savior because I got this. But something come from the other side and upflip your whole boat. And now you realize I need a Savior. See, it's a serious thing to tell God I don't need a Savior. Well, are you God? I mean, I can even understand that. If you God-like, are you God too? No. You got powers? No. I just don't need a Savior. Because I got this. I got my life. I got my world. But then something hit my world and it wakes me up to reality that I'm in need of a Savior. And then I holler, oh Lord. Yeah, that's when we holler. You know what I'm saying? That's why many folk get saved when they go to jail. Because they realize they need a Savior because the devil coming. So now they want to get, the world say they want to get religion. But it's not religion, it's relationship. Come on, church. The church is in need of a relationship with the living God, not a false God. Because see, even this morning, how the Spirit of God came in and took authority over some demonic stuff that's trying to attack the people. See, you need a living God. I don't want a God that's just willing. I need to know, is he able to save me? You don't even qualify as my Savior if you're not able. My cousin telling me he can take care of me. He got a couple pistols and you understand what I'm saying? But he ain't able to deal with certain things that deal with me. I need a Savior that can deal with everything pertaining to me. I hate to get my insurance policy and go there and they tell me, you covered, you got this. But there was a few exclusions that didn't cover that. Man, I don't want to hear that. I paid every month and you're going to try to tell me my policy don't cover that? I got the wrong policy. Oh, no, they're going to tell you you need to upgrade your policy. You need a premium one. But it's too late now. Somebody got to pay for that. I need to make a decision to get the premium one now. Are you in Romans chapter 1? Glory be to God. Look at verse 19. And the scripture says, verse 19, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him, the creator of the world, are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. See, God has already made provisions to take care of you. You got to reject God. See, a lot of people, I told you last week, a lot of people think that, you know, I'm trying to get my name in the book. No, your name is already in the book. The Bible says you got to blot out your name. Meaning God got to come and approach you and ask you, do you want me to be your Savior? And you got to tell him yes or no. And some of us had the audacity to say no. Now I'm walking around uninsured, unprotected, uncovered, and I'm trying to live in a world that's already upside down, and my life is turned inside out, and I don't even have no coverage because I told the Lord no. So this got to be a salvation that you want. See, ain't nobody in heaven that don't want to be there. Ain't nobody in hell that didn't want to be there. They don't want to be there now, but they said no. Yeah. Just like when stuff hits you, you wish you would have said yes. Come on, somebody. You remember that? I don't want to pay that right now because it costs too much money. Next 3 weeks, something happened to you, and you wish you would have paid the money. Because now you got to pay more than what you would have had to pay if you'd only said yes. See, salvation ain't just you going to heaven. God got a policy to cover you and your whole household. See, this warranty that he offers you covers you and your whole household. Now, do you love me? You love your children? Well, why would you tell God no to cover you and your children? I know you bad enough. I don't need it. I can do what I want. I got this. But did you know you was talking about your children? Because when you say no, it represents everybody that's under your authority. So just like when you make money and it feed everybody under your authority, when you say no, it covers everybody under your authority. So you just told the Lord, my children don't need protection. You just told the Lord, my wife don't need to be covered. I got her. But look at verse 20, because you're looking at me strange. Verse 21, because that when they knew God and glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. Oh, God, help us right here. Help us right here. Can this text talk to you? If I don't get to do nothing else, I'm going to just explain this here right here. Then I'll go on. But it says right here, verse 21, because that, what? Because what? Because that. Because what? Then this means it's a conclusion. I mean, I've got something else to say because there's a comma. So I have not finished my explanation of what I'm talking to you about. So I'm saying because that. Because what? Because that when they knew God. Oh, I thought they didn't know God. I thought God didn't talk to them. I thought God never asked them. Oh, no, they knew God. God asked them. God talked to them like he talked to you. But the scripture said because they knew God. They glorify him what? Not. They didn't even say, well, you got to watch the text. Don't say what it didn't say. He didn't say they didn't glorify him. They didn't glorify him as God. So when you say, God, I got this, I'm really saying, God, I don't think you can handle me. You can't handle my business. You can't save me. So I'm not glorifying you as God. So you just like, what's up, Doc? You know how some people call? We won't mess with that. They don't call me pastor. What's up, brother? Now, I am your brother. Come on now. But I got an office. I'm just trying to teach you how to walk with God. Because the kingdom of God. So that's pastor. Not God. Don't put me up here like I can't miss it. I may miss it too. When you go down to the chicken spot, they got receipts in my name on it. Kentucky Fried. Come on, somebody. When you go to the movie house, I just left. So I still do what everybody else do, but I done laid my life down. I done learned the disciplines and the commitment of honor. Because see, don't look at me no higher than you look at you. I'm the same brother that started out with you. I just disciplined and cultivated and cut the back so God would allow me to walk in the office in representation of the Father. But I'm still a man. I got to take the wife home every, you know, y'all should have been here yesterday. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? I'm still the same man, but I just learned to groom and discipline, and I said uncle on many occasions upon many subjects. So now you get to go do it, and then you want to come look at me? So he said they did not glorify him as God. So when we say no to the Lord, we said, I don't glorify you or I don't acknowledge you. I don't really think you got it like you say you do. That's why I'm not letting you watch over me, because I got to take care of this business. But I said, I'm God. No, that's all good, Doc. That's all good, little brother. That's all good up the man upstairs. But I don't glorify you as God. Is this right? Watch this. He said, because that when they knew God, they glorify him not as God, neither were they. Boy, I can work with you. How is you eating every day? Can I ask you that? Is it all right if I ask you? How you getting your money every day? How you looking real good today? How did you get that air you're sucking today? I mean, I know you got it like that. I just want to ask you a question. Who's been taking care of you since your husband been treating you bad? Your wife disappearing, your kids acting crazy. The man came in. Who's been really looking out for you? I haven't heard you say anything lately like, thank you. But now watch this. The thank you is not the verbal thing. Because this is where we fall out of love in our marriages. Because our relationship, it's not religion, it's relationship. This is how we fall out of love in our marriages. Because you keep saying, I'm sorry. You keep saying, but you don't never do different. So now, even though you keep saying, thank you, you no different than the people on TV. I want to thank God because he's been so good to me. That's religion. That's all you giving me. I don't see you thank me in church. I don't see you serving for the people. I don't see you living and giving. I don't see you never really did thank you. You just said thank you. Have you ever told your wife, I'm sorry, and then hit her again? Come on now, I mess you up in here. Have you ever told her you're going to be faithful and then you didn't come home last night? But I'm sorry. And you stole the money again. They still calling on your phone. I'm sorry. But when is it going to be that you act sorry? You said I'm thankful. But when are you going to act thankful? He said because they were not thankful. Not just the verbal. I mean, I hear you. He said, you talk with your mouth, but your heart is far away from me. You talk love, but you don't even show me love. You ain't hold my hand. You sound like you talking to somebody else, and you're looking at me. Because you won't even touch me. Who are you thinking about when you say all those delicacies and what you would love to do, but you ain't did none of that to me? Let me get back to salvation that you want. Because see, I mess around and mess up somebody. Huh? Because see, I'm not playing with you. But God's not playing with you. See, the only way you're going to deal with a problem, you got to confront it. See, the reason why people stay in their stoop is because nobody confronts them. And then they get stronger in it now. That they can do it without even you thinking. They think you even know they're doing it. And then now I'm doing it. I don't even care if you know. Because I done got bold in the hole. But if you would have corrected me when I first did it, we wouldn't have this practice going on. Because I'd have had to make a decision. Do I want to live here anymore? But because you don't deal with it, I keep doing it. Now it became a part of my character. And I don't even know how I act in front of you. Have you ever been delusional? No. This is salvation that you want. Because see, some people are delusional. They think in one thing, but they act in another way. Can I work this here point? Because if I don't hit this home, this is how the enemy comes in. I was watching the movie Al Pacino. What's it? Not Scarface, the other one. Godfather, y'all already know me, but that wasn't the ones I was watching. But anyway, he was talking about, he said it was the devil's advocate. And he says, how is it that you keep pulling this? He said, my greatest trick is deception. You don't even see me coming. I said, that's a powerful statement, because how many people living in deception? See, you don't even know that you're doing the damage that you're doing. Because you're so caught up in what you're doing, what you think, that you don't even understand who you're hurting by what you're doing. You couldn't be thinking that and knowing that if you knew that it was going to hurt your children.
All right.
You know, everybody talk about the statistics about, you know, families broken up, homes and all that. But did you know if you keep going over that woman's house and if you get busted, your family and home is broke up. Now your children don't have the father no more. Now they got to learn to live with another man that comes in there and going to try to portray the role of a daddy. Not to say that he ain't going to be a loving man, because I thank God that he sent replacement for fools to jump out of the game. Clap your hands right now. Clap your hands. Whether you jumped out, got put out, or just didn't show up, what difference do it make? You out, and the game got to go on. Kids going to wake up in the morning looking for the cereal, the TV, and somebody to talk to. But did you know that this conduct was going to lead you to separation? Not just from your wife, but from your children. Not just from your children, now on your job. Did you know that the smoking gonna lead you to? Did you know that the confusion and the deception will destroy you? Now I'm back out in the middle of the street again, trying to replace what I already had. You know how they say the grass is green on the other side? Well, that's a lie. Just water your grass. But when you go on the other side, you got to water that grass. Some folks just so unselfish and so undisciplined, they just got to have another. You're not even satisfied with what you got. You just want another. And because you keep feeding that appetite, another turns into another. And now you're living another life with seven other anothers. And everybody you go and engage with, you destroy their life because you begin to open up another false relationship under the pretense that I do feel the way I do, but it's really deception because I really don't even like you. I just want you. And now I done started another one only for the game to play, not realizing I'm the one getting played because I'm distorted now. I don't even know what love looks like. I done lost the capability of how to love because I'm not genuine. Is this helping anybody? This is salvation that you want. See, some people don't think they need to be saved because you like what you're doing. You want to keep doing what you're doing, but you need to be delivered because you lost. And you deceive because you don't realize the enemy is using you to tear up your home, not build it up. I don't mind fighting out in the street, but doggone if I got to come home every night and fight. I'm sleeping with the enemy. I got the locks and the badges. I got the chains on, the alarm on, and I'm trapped up in here with you. I thought I was trying to keep folk from getting in. I can't even get out in case of emergency. You done got on my doggone nerve. And I done forgot the combination. And I'm hitting them because I'm under pressure. Because you deceived. You forgot who I am. What y'all going to do with that, man? Can I work this? Come on, somebody. See, no, if we don't deal with the devil will deal with you. And you getting old, and now you call that a part of you. You don't even identify that it needs to be fixed no more. You put it on when you put everything else on. And you don't think nobody don't see you. See, that's the part of deception. It used to be like Casper, the friendly ghost. You know, Casper walk around there. Nobody saw him when he wanted to bust his move. He'd shake his little self, and then he'd disappear. But all of a sudden, while he was moving, he didn't realize he came back. And he right in front of the people. And he think he doing his little stuff. And they like, ah. Oh. Well, that's how some of us is. People can see you, even though you can't see yourself. And why do you think everybody keep telling you the same thing? Is everybody lying about you? I mean, everybody keep telling me the same thing. Watch this, watch this. This is in your text. Boy, is this helping? Watch this, watch this. Verse 21. But that when they knew not God and glorify him not as God, neither were thankful, but became what? Vain. This is in your text. See, the enemy, how could you leave from being glorified and then turn vain? You can't turn me vain. Vain is something that happens within me that comes out. You can't make me not a good player if I play. I got to stop playing. Come on, somebody. They became vain. Not that they were already vain. That's why, oh, I can mess. Here, look at. I got to pull it out. It's Holy Ghost. I got to pull it out. Watch this. He said, but became what? In their what? See, this wasn't even real. God help us. It wasn't even real, but it was real to you. He said they became vain in their through the successions of encounters with different activities. I have the potential to become deceived in my mind. I was just the other day, and I did something the Lord, I think I shared a couple of people, but this is something the Lord shared with me a little while ago. It was the top of last year, and I always write down how the Lord ministers to me. He told me, son, I don't want you to judge nothing. I want you to wait and let me reveal to you what you've seen. Because, you know, when I judge something or something happens, I look at it from the perception of where I used to be. Amen? I relate to it for what I already know. I judge it by what already happened to me. So when I looked at it or look at something, I'm going to automatically filter it through anything that relates to what I'm looking at. And the Lord, I told him I was sitting at the post office. And I'm at the post office. And I like this thing because when God talks to me, I'm not really a dreamer. I'm one of them practical guys. God, talk to me the way you talk to me. I need to see you. And because of my understanding, he makes things plain. I'm at the post office. And the lady in front of me, she goes to the counter because, you know, they say next. So she goes there. And, you know, I'm ready to do my thing so I can go. So the lady goes to the counter and get ready to make her transaction, and she walks away from the counter and go outside the building. Now, I'm standing there. This guy over here drinking his soda, fumbling around, and I'm standing there. I'm like, okay. I'm still trying to be holy and godly, and I'm like, okay, doc. Now I'm talking about what's the U.S., you know, what's the post office complaint number? You know, I'm trying to look on the wall. I'm trying to say, why won't this guy call me up? I mean, I know you got your liberty. You know, they really chill. But I know you can live and do it like that. I'm not mad with you. But don't take all day. So I'm like, why you don't call me up? Now I got a little agitated. And I'm looking at him like, come on, man. And I'm trying to be respectful because they say, don't go past this point. I'm ready to walk on over there. Just put my stuff on the counter and say, come on, doc. You know what I'm saying? Do what you do, man. You done drunk the water and all that. I got to go, man. So I'm like, I'm waiting there. And I done got a little hot. The woman comes back in with the change or the money in her hand and puts it on the counter because, you know, on the office or the area they work, it's a little cubby hole. I didn't see inside the hole that she left her stuff there. She didn't have enough money, so she went to the car to get the money to finish the transaction. But now I done fired the guy, called his boss. All this I done in my head. Because I done ran hot because of what I perceived was happening. This guy neglecting me. Not knowing he was just out of courtesy waiting on the woman who was there before me. And God said, see, that's why I told you, don't judge by your eyes nor rebuke by your ear. I'm going to teach you how to discern matters. Because if I allow my emotions to justify my understanding, I can be way deceived. Because I thought that man neglected me. When really he was processing his job. Point is at hand. We don't really know what people are going through. What they doing. Even what they thinking. Even when they doing. You know, Pastor, you come through the church. You ain't said nothing to me. I wasn't even thinking about you. Not that I was neglecting you. I was going this way thinking about what somebody just gave. And I apologize. Not that I said I don't love you. I was the multiple things running through my head. I just walked by, not out of disrespect, but did you ever consider me? Watch this, hear me now. This point here. He said they was in their imagination. Are you there? In their imagination, and the foolish hearts was what? Now, not foolish as if we're fools. You know how foolishness comes in? I can take you in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 25. He said, to understand the foolishness of madness, the wickedness of folly. Because see, now you got to, have you ever tried to figure out when some people doing stuff? See, some stuff is foolishness. It's just like, man, I'm too old for that, Doc. You want me to get down there and push that? That's foolish. I said, you say, I'm a grown man. I'm not going to call you delicious. That's foolish. I just had to throw that at you. He said, I'm not going to call you delicious because that's foolish. But now he said, the wickedness of madness. Now, some people plot on you. And it's called wickedness of madness. It's wicked. See, the difference between wicked and evil, evil is E-V-I-L, which is spelled backwards, L-I-V-E. It's to just live backwards from God. But wicked is those people that sit back and plan and contemplate to trick you. I mean, they calculated where you're going to be, where they're going to be, how and when you're going to get what you're going to get, how they know when you ain't home so I can get her in the house and out. See, that's wicked. Because, see, that was something you contemplated. You set up and schemed that up. It ain't just you did wrong. That was in your heart to deceive me. But he says that it's for those that can understand and make the distinction between the wickedness of madness and the foolishness of folly. So when we turn to foolishness, it's because of us doing things out of the due order or the level of your maturity. See, that's foolish. You know, how did that grown man go down there into the in the store and hit that kid playing the machine because he said the kid bumped his machine? That's foolish. We don't mind you playing the little machine, but you don't have no business wrestling with a kid. That's foolish. You can't even explain that. That's foolish because that doesn't look appropriate for your age. He says right here, he says, and the foolishness of their hearts was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became. Now, that's the different word when I looked at both of them, because one was foolish and one was fools. Once God tells you and shows you what is right, now you become a fool if you choose to do wrong. Now, you can act foolish and not be a fool. Is this helping you? This is why he said the kingdom of heaven is within you, because God's responsibility is to show you so you don't become a fool. Even as we growing up, we done act foolish at times. We done some things. Grown folks got jobs, IDs, certificates, degrees, and we still act foolish because we're not that perfect. So we don't handle everything as we ought to in terms of every situation. But because of the grace of God, he gives us insight that we don't become fools, because I show you the right way, oh man. So God's grace through his salvation, he's required to show us the right way. Now for the last few minutes, let me help you get on the right way. The first part of salvation is the prerequisite is repentance. See, I got to repent from what I'm doing to accept what he's doing. I got to repent from me saving myself to accept him as my savior. See, some of us done declared I'm my savior. I trust in my own independence. That's all right to be independent, but you're not your God. So we have to trust in the ability of the Spirit of God to become our savior. Amen? So the prerequisite for salvation is repentance. It's to turn away from your sinful life and to turn to God. See, you ain't repent just because you said, I'm sorry. Remember, I said you can say thank you, but you never showed thank you. So you can say I repent, but I ain't never quit. You can say I repent, but I ain't never did what I was supposed to do. Go to 1 Corinthians, I think it is. Chapter 4. Glory be to God. Are you hearing anything? First Corinthians chapter 4. And look at verse 10. I was finna say, like I tell the men in our men's group. Now read that. But we're not in the men's group, amen. So if y'all ready, it wouldn't. So let's read it together. Verse 10, it says what? We are fools for Christ's sake, but we are wise in Christ. We are weak, but we are strong. We are honorable, but we are despised. Now watch this. He said we are fools for what? So now what he's saying is, I choose to accept Christ's way above my own way. I know we are fool. Come on now. And some of us act foolish. But I'm a fool for Christ. I mean, I choose Christ's way above my own way. And surely above your way. Surely above the world's way. So he said, we are fools for Christ's sake. But you are wise. How, when you become wise? When I submitted and accepted his way above my way. I'm wise for my life now. For my children. For my future. Because he's responsible to show me, oh man, the way of God. I don't even know what tomorrow look like, but I got a man who done tomorrow on my team. Guiding me and showing me which way to go. That's how I'm able to make it. So even though I was a fool, I became wise. You're going to submit to somebody. It's like worship. Don't tell me you don't worship. You worship every day. Our question is, who you going to worship? Because when you go to the movie house, you worship. When you go down and do your thing, you worship. Whatever that, come on now. Any act that you allow to be dominant over you, it called worship. So now my question is, who you worshiping? Not if you worship. We already know you're going to worship. My question is, who you're going to worship? But it says, we are fools for Christ's sake, but you are wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. See, it feels vulnerable to let somebody lead and guide you, but in my weakness, I become strong because the one that's guiding me is not only willing, but he's able. See, I ain't going to be a fool to let no child guide me. Come on, somebody. So he's able to guide me, amen? He says, but you are strong, you are honorable, but we are despised. This is honorable to acknowledge the Lord as our Savior, but folk look at you weak. You ain't, you know what I'm saying? You must be weak. Christianity is for weak folk and all this other, you know, foolishness. Now, Christianity is for strong folks, wise folks. They got enough sense to know, I'm not no kid no more. I understand I need a Savior. I can't protect me, my house, my kids. They over in Chicago and one down in Kentucky. The other one is in Germany. The other one on his way to Iraq. I can't save them. I need a Savior. How you think they coming home? Why you think we confess in Psalm 91? Because he's our Savior. This ain't just something to be done. This is the will of God. This is the way of the Lord. Who covers us and keeps us, protects us from the enemy destroying our home, destroying my marriage? Who keeps me up in here while you acting a fool? I need a Savior. If it wasn't for the Lord on my side, I'd have been gone up out of here. I need a Savior. So we understand the prerequisite is repentance. I got to quit trying to save myself. I got to acknowledge that God is my Savior. But not only do I need to repent according to Psalms chapter 23, verse 6. He said that I would dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Once I get saved, this is my refuge, my hiding place. I'm not hiding like I'm lost. This is my choice. I choose to be here. Psalms 84, verse 10, he says, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than to be out on the block talking about I'm trying to come up and mess around and get stuck out. Amen. God has saved us. He made a place for us. But not only did he, the prerequisite is that we repent, but the preeminence of salvation, that there must be a king over me. Amen. Remember we were talking about the other Sunday how the tree was talking to the bamboo and all that. But the real question was, who's going to be king over you? See, the reason why we ain't saved, because I don't want nobody to be king over me. I'm big king, daddy, boop, boop. So I don't want nobody to be king over me. Only when in case of emergency. I'm going to pull the salvation switch. Help, Lord. Like the light going to run up to the Lord and he going to jump down and save you because you pulled the switch when you had no respect for him. You had no, come on somebody, you despised him. Even when you knew him, you didn't give him credit for being God. But you want to pull the switch when you're in trouble. Smile, it get worse. But not only that, but watch this, and I'm going to let you out of here. This is the 15 benefits of your salvation. You ain't got to write it down. Make sure you get the tape. Salvation is a conversion. Come on, somebody. But salvation is also a substitution. See, you get converted from where you are to where he wants you to be. But then you get a substitution. You get to take his grace, his power, in place of your failures and defeats. Because remember, you ain't all that. I know you look good on Tuesdays and Thursdays. You're running strong on Friday night. Come on now. Saturday morning, you're looking kind of weak. Sunday, we're trying to locate you. Come on now. We all done ran this course together. You ain't the first one on this track. Come on, somebody. I know you're strong now. They gave you some energy and you're running hard. You're running hard. But what happened when you fall out? When you faint? Substitution. But not only that, you got reconciliation. We've been reconciled. Now my relationship is right with God, because I couldn't get back right with God, because I used to be a, you know, I used to play like this and like that. They got a record on me. I done this and like that. How can I get back right with God? It's through salvation. Amen. Jesus reconciles us back with God. But also reconciliation, you got propitiation. Amen. God bring, oh, this is so good to me. God brings you back into a place, but you also got remission, meaning he lets you back into the things of God. Some of us done fell out. And we need to be reinstated, readmitted back into the kingdom. Thank God for his grace. I don't know if you ever missed it and lost Jesus, your personal relationship with him. But you can rejoice when you was able to get back home. As the prodigal said, I rejoiced when I was able to get back to the Father's house. My peace came back. My joy came back. He took the frown away, the scars off. He healed the hurts. That was the Father's grace that through salvation. But not only that was regeneration, but then you got impudiation. Then there's some things he just gives to you. You don't even deserve it. You act so bad, so ugly. You know how we do our kids? Y'all act so disobedient, but I still fixed your food. You called me all them names, and I still brought you that car. You didn't even say thank you after I brought it. But then not only that, supplication. You got somebody praying for you. After all that's going on in your life, somebody praying for you. He's sitting on the right hand of the Father making intercession, calling out your name. You can't even get your family to pray for you. Somebody praying for you to keep that devil dogs up off of you. My God. Not only that, you got justification. You've been made right with God. Then you got sanctification. I'm able to make some changes in my life I couldn't get. How did I get drug and alcoholism up off of me? How did I get addiction? I couldn't. How did I get sleeping with every man up off of me, every woman up off of me? I couldn't get that up off of me until the Spirit of God. You need a Savior. That's all I'm talking about. You can't save yourself. That's why you're still doing the acts. Because you can't save you. As much as you want to stop, you can't stop. Because it got you. You don't got it. You started off with it. But now it got you. Glorification. Then you got preservation. He's preserving you. You're looking real good today. You done been through hell and high water. And look how you look. God's been keeping you and sustaining. You would have lost your mind. You'd have been somewhere sitting up sucking your thumb at the age of 48 because you done lost it. But he's preserving you. You know when they thought you were going to lose your mind? You know when they thought they had really done that last thing was going to send you over? But God kept me. Boy, you better sing to somebody up in here. And then you got origination. God is originally, you are the copy of the heart of God. Father, we do bless you. We thank you for your salvation, your saving grace. Thank you for your divine healing. Thank you for most of all.